excited about what God is doing, and we rejoice for the young man that went down in the water in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost this morning. We're praising God for all of his blessings. I hear Joseph telling his brethren, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And there are things constantly that are going on in our world that perhaps work against the visible and work against perhaps what you might like to see happen or you might regard as the kingdom of God. But you need to know this, that there is no end to the increase of his government and peace. And you need to know that the church is built on the rock, Christ Jesus, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that's the church corporate, but that's also the church individual. That's the individual that is built on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that's the individual that's built on the rock. And the increase of his government and peace in that individual and in that home shall never know an end. You need to understand that tonight. The kingdom is growth oriented, and the kingdom is life oriented. And so it's a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God and to know him in spirit and in truth. And tonight we're excited. I appreciate the praise group and the media team and these which have come. Brother Jasper's working these services, and he has roughly 100 with him every time he opens up this Facebook Live. And in the course of a week, that's multiplied many times over by people that are coming into it. The Spanish ministry did a Facebook Live post today, and they had over 100 with them, and they just had their essential staff there to project that service. But they were touching people in other countries, and they were touching a lot of people that don't normally come to church. And that's happening during the course of the week with our Bible studies that we're broadcasting and with our Wednesday night service. And so we want you to take advantage of this season of time and invite your co-workers and your neighbors or people that maybe in your family that are not living for God, and just tell them, look, you can go to church on your own front porch. You can go to church in your own living room or in your own kitchen. And it's not like being here. I want to tell you officially, I am missing the church. I am missing gathering together with God's people. I walk in this place and it's an empty place, and I just shake my head and feel all lonesome. I'm sitting in my office doing Bible studies and teaching theology classes all by myself. And I'm not saying that to make you feel sorry for me. I'm saying that to tell you I'm lonesome for God's people. I'm happy for the day. I'm looking forward to the day that we can gather together. But this is just a season. This is just a time. So we'll be strong in it. We'll be faithful in it. And we'll look for the places where we can capitalize and we can touch. There's always an opportunity in a time frame or a season that gets you out of your normal circle of activity. There's always a blessing to be had, and there's always somebody to touch that you otherwise would never meet. I hope that you're not going to meet somebody working in an ICU ward. I don't want you to go there and meet people. I'm sure they're lovely people, but we'd rather meet them on different bases. But I would want you to pray tonight for our healthcare professionals that are out there on the front lines, our nurses and doctors and people involved in support ministries for those areas. And I want you to pray for them that God will keep them safe. They are not only out on the front line of all of this, but they're also working many, many hours. Just here in Birmingham, we're not as heavily affected by it as some other places are right now. And I appreciate you taking the care and complying with the advice and the wishes of our healthcare professionals and keeping yourself separated to what degree that you can, because we don't want to be like New York and we don't want to be like Italy. We want to be able to handle these poor folks that are actually coming into this season of sickness, and we want our folks at UAB to be able to take good care of them. They've got their normal load of physical needs and things that are going on in their life, in people's lives on a regular basis. And now they've got this on top of that. And a lot of these COVID cases are going to the ICUs and they are taxing the system. Well, in some cities, they're overwhelming the system. So we just want to be in prayer for our folks that are out on the edge and they are there working with these folks that are sick. I just pray God's hand of blessing and strength on them. People like KJ that are out in the EMS group, and they're meeting these sick folks at the point of their sickness in their home and in their families. And we want God's hedge of blessing and protection upon them. We want them in the secret place of the Most High. We want them to walk in the protection and the blessing of God. Now, it's so excellent to be a part of what God is doing. It's so great to be in the house of God tonight. I appreciate our support teams, our ministry teams that are coming and supporting these online broadcasts. And until further notice, though, I heard the president this evening talking about this is going to continue as is until the end of April, and they're projecting we may not hit the peak of this and begin to come down the other side until June or something like that. So we just have to dig in, and we have to be God's people in the midst of it all. So as we're navigating this, you want to stay in touch with our elders and folks that are shut in. Some of our families, perhaps they're in an industry. Some of our church families can't keep up with all the business because it's so active right now for them. And some industries, like these retail stores, they're doing so great. Some of our folks that like work at Target, they're getting raises because of how busy and how blessed that particular industry is. But others are not able to work as much as they need to, and some folks are being laid off. And you need to stay in touch with your church family so that we can know. And if you're a part of the New Life family and you're in need and you're struggling right now in the middle of all of this, don't struggle by yourself. Let us know what's going on. There's a church family here that loves you and that wants to pray with you and reach out to you. And everyone said amen. So here we are gathered around our kitchen tables and gathered around our living rooms and in our homes and on our phones or whatever you're using tonight. And we're going to open the Word of God. I appreciate our praise group coming and being a part of the worship tonight and leading us into worship. Appreciate our musicians coming. And Sam, we can have a wedding. We just don't know what kind of wedding it's going to be. But Julia may be at her house and you may be at your house on the phone and you'll have to say, I do. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be like that. We're going to make this thing happen. At any rate, we're going to have a wedding. So let's read tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. We're making our way through the Old Testament. We're making our way through the book of Deuteronomy. And here, a simple verse that opens up a large conversation in the Word of God. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let's pray together and ask God to help us in the Word tonight. Mighty God, we praise you and we worship you and we thank you for your Word, for the gift of your Word, for the privilege, God, to handle your Word in this house tonight. Help us, God, to gain in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Help us to draw close to you, to understand. Help us, God, to be effective in your harvest and a blessing to your people. And let your Word be seed in our lives to bring forth your will and your desire. And everyone said in Jesus' name, praise God. So God bless you. So good to be in your kitchen tonight with you and in your home. And we have a handful here in the house, and this barn needs to be filled with harvest. We're believing God that he'll do just that, even in this interesting time. So the context of our text tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 29, as you make your way through Deuteronomy 27, It's a theme that we've dealt with in previous books. You remember that Deuteronomy quite often is a recap or a summarizing of things that we've covered in the first four books. And 27 is like that. 27 is the account of Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And we've done a pretty good bit of work in those areas. Verse 8 in chapter 27, thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Verse 12, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse when you're come over Jordan. And so he divides up the tribes. Six tribes are represented by Levites on Mount Gerizim, and six tribes are represented by Levites on Mount Ebal. And the word of God concerning the blessings are written on Mount Gerizim, and the word of God concerning the curses are written on Mount Ebal. And those Levites, as Israel is passing between those mountains, those Levites are crying out the word of God. You'll be blessed if you do this, and you'll be cursed if you do this. And Deuteronomy concludes with a long list of behaviors that brings forth curses. What we're doing here, we're establishing the context for Deuteronomy chapter 29. Chapter 28 begins with a long list of blessings. And if you're familiar with the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it is one-third all blessings and two-thirds all curses. And it's amazing what God can do to folks when, excuse me, when he wants to get their attention, and when he is, and when he's trying to bring them to their knees and cause them to pray. So chapter 28 is the blessing and the curses. And it shall come to pass, verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do. Everyone say to do. All his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And then he takes off on this long list of blessings. Verses 3 through 14 are blessings. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then in verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do, everyone say to do, all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So verse 16 through 68, that's a litany of curses upon them. Well, this sets the context for our text tonight. Deuteronomy 29 begins, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper. Blessings come when you do the word of God. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, and all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of wood and the drawer of thy water, your servants, your children, everybody in the house. This is pertinent to them, that thou should enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish you today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said to thee, and as he sworn to thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And down in the latter part of the 29th, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord has laid upon it. We're down into the curses here in chapter 29. And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt, and burning that is not sown, neither beareth, nor any grass grows therein. Like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zebulun, and which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. And even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? And what meaneth the heat of this great anger? The nations are going to look at you, Israel, after God has scattered you and made the land desolate. The world's going to look at you and say, what in the world did these people do to their God that he would unleash the fury of his judgment upon them like this? What does this mean? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And we apply this to the New Testament experience. They came out of Egypt, we come out of our world. They crossed the Red Sea, we crossed the waters of baptism. They are under the cloud and under the fire, and we are filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They passed through the Jordan River and into the land of promise, and we apply the word of God and we prosper in the promise of God, just like they did. What they did was type and shadow of what the church would be. And they went after other gods and they worshiped them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger. You can't live in the land of promise and live like the Philistines and the Egyptians. God won't allow that. The secret things, and he cast them into another land as it is this day, because what they did indicated what they believed, and they didn't believe that God was a good God, and they didn't believe that God was a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and they didn't want to be in the land. By their actions they demonstrated that, and so God moved them to another land. They didn't want to live in the blessings, they wanted to embrace the curses, and so God gave them up to the curses. And then verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And so, Adam and Eve, God had a secret. And the secret was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't know about that. They just knew, don't eat of that. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil indicates to us that good and evil always implicitly come together. They are always both present. You can't have the knowledge of the blessing without the knowledge of the curse. And you can't have the knowledge of the good without the knowledge of the evil. And then it was known when they took of the tree. And now they know, and now they have to walk in it. But listen to me, this is not serendipity, and this is not the plan and the scheme of hell. And the snake didn't let this happen. God made the man, God made the woman, God put them in the garden, and the snake was the creation of God, and he was in the garden, and this was all the plan of God. Because back there, before any of that was, there was the picture of a lamb in the plan of God slain before the foundation of the earth. And God had the remedy before the man and woman. So this was part of the redemptive package of God. And it was necessary that the man and the woman walk into that garden and take of the tree and walk in the knowledge of good and evil, because that's the nature of God's creation at a very fundamental level, because it happened early on in the story of creation and in the garden. It's Genesis chapter 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28, and 29, there is a summary of all of the words of this law. And in that, it is repetitive. Israel now has the knowledge of how to be blessed, and now they have the knowledge of how to be cursed. And we've talked about this. We're in an existential world on an existential spiritual journey, and we are fallen and we are Adamic, and our bodies are going to die one day, and there are baked in things that are part of a cursed world. You go back to Genesis 3 and you see the litany of the curses. But in the middle of this fallen, cursed world, it is possible to embrace the blessings of God, and it's possible to embrace more curses that come standard with the existential life. I'm telling you, it's like ordering a car. You can order more of the good things in this life, or you can order more of the cursed things in this life. And it's really something God has made available to mankind, to know good and to know evil, to know blessing and to know curse. So at the end of the 29th chapter, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, they belong now to Adam and Eve, and now to Israel, now to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now we know, and now by choice and by exercise of free moral agency, we can do the good, choose the good, and shun the evil. We can do the blessed thing and embrace the blessing and shun the curse. So now Israel knows, and he speaks it to them, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The knowledge of it should propel you to obey and to do the word of God. The knowledge of good and evil, now that secret belongs to man, and now man has to walk in that secret. And here's what the writer of Proverbs, the wise man, says: "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee." By choice, by will, by embracing the word of God, you can have a better life, a longer life, peace, length of days. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart." Get yourself embedded in the word of God. "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." There's a place of favor, and you can find it, and you can walk in it. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil." And so the knowledge of good and evil, it was a secret. It was hidden in the garden, but now it's been revealed to us, and now it belongs to us, and now we have to do something about it. We can't just stand in a neutral zone between the two. We're in the fight. It doesn't matter how you got there, and it doesn't matter what you think about it. We are there, and this is your fight, and this is your choice, and this is your life. And the promise of God is real, and the good is real, and the evil is real. Psalm 34, "Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." And so God embraces when you do the words of this law, when you're obedient and you obey and you embrace the word of God. Deuteronomy 13 and 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And so he's given man the knowledge of good and evil, and now he's given the nation of Israel the knowledge of the blessing and the curse. And he said, "I've set it out before you, and I'm imploring you, choose life." Choose, implicit in that is choose blessing, that you and your seed may live. And so choose life. Engage free moral agency. Use that wonderful gift that God has given you. And this is the theme of the study that we that we handle from time to time about the origin of evil. And this is the heartbeat of the study that we do from time to time about the threshing floor. God has gifted us with a wonderful blessing, a gift, a choice, this beautiful gift of free moral agency. Here we are. We're not just blown about by every wind. We're not driven by demonic things outside of our control. But in the middle of your life right now, whatever it is, in the middle of your circumstance right now, whatever it is, you can stand and God will stand with you. And you can choose good and God will stand with you. And you can choose blessing and God will stand with you. And you can choose evil and you'll go down the chute and you'll go down that way. And you can choose the curse and those things will unfold just naturally in your life. But you've got control. And here's the deal tonight. You've got to take responsibility for your life. And you need to take responsibility for your family. And you need to take responsibility for your future and for your destiny in eternity. And nobody can do this for you. Nobody can live this for you. Nobody can choose this for you. But the good news is nobody can stop you if you make up your mind to live for God. You can do this. You can stand in the middle of it. God has revealed these secrets and now they belong to you. Let's give God some praise. Let's magnify Him. Somebody right now in the middle of this, say, I choose life. I choose blessing. Mighty God, we praise you. So, we know good and evil. We've known since Adam and Eve. But we can choose good. We know blessing and curse, and we can choose blessing. We know the secret of life and death, and we can choose life. And this is one of the highest demonstrations of respect that God gives you. He gives you this chance to determine your own destiny and determine you're not just some little microscopic speck on a microscopic speck. You're not just out here in the oblivion of the universe and it doesn't matter and nothing matters and there is no meaning. No. There is purpose to your life. There is a destiny for your life. God has a plan for your life and He's giving you the roadmap, and what you've got to do is stand up in the middle of your will and begin to ferret out and understand good and evil as per the Word of God. Blessing and curse as defined by the Word of God. This is Secrets 101. This is the beginning, the foundational revelation of all the revelation. And this is foundational to everything, to choose good, to choose life, to choose blessing. Jeremiah 21 and 8, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. Praise God. I want us, everywhere we are right now, I want us to lift up our hands and I want us to open our hearts and just talk to God for a minute. And if you've been struggling with some things and you haven't been committed to the Word of God, I want you to begin to, come on, and one of the places where you control your life is with your mouth. James says it's a rudder. James says it's like the reins for a horse. You need to begin to open your mouth and say, I choose good. I choose life. I choose blessing. I want good in my home. I want life in my home. I want blessing in my home. I want the destiny that God has charted for me. I want you to pray that prayer right now. I want you to open your mouth, because your mouth is like a rudder for the ship of your life, and you determine your direction. And it's got to be more than just speaking it, but it starts with speaking it. You have to begin to say it, and you have to agree with God. You need to begin to say it right now. I choose life. I don't want to die spiritually. I choose blessing. I don't want to embrace the curse. It just seems to me that out of just sheer elemental curiosity, you would want to see the blessing of God and what it looks like. Because all you've got to do is look around this world to see what death looks like. Death is not intriguing and it's not inviting at all. The curse, all you got to do is look around the world. People living in squalor and disease and hurt and pain and all of the negatives about the existential. You can see that plain. It seems like just basic curiosity would say, what's the other side look like? What does blessing look like? I want to see the blessing. I want to see the life. And God didn't say, I just want you to have life. God said, I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. I've set before you the way of life and death, and those things that are secret, they belong to God and to those of us to whom He has revealed them. Now they belong to us and to our children, that we might do the works of this law. Praise God. This is an interesting dynamic. And when I say this is Secrets 101, this is foundational. If you don't get this, you don't go any further. If you don't get, I choose life, I choose blessing, I choose good, then you don't go any further with God. There's more. There are more secrets. There are more revelations. There is more to have and more to be and more to do. But you can't get there until you make that basic decision. That's the whole conversation that he has with the crowd about, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to say goodbye to your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. You got to take up your own cross and follow after me. It's not necessarily the cross of death. It is death to that earthly way and that earthly philosophy and those earthly experiences. But more than that, it is the taking on your shoulder the responsibility that God has given you. That's where everything starts. Jesus, in talking about the parables, And we've done a couple of online studies about it this week, and we're in that motherlode of parables in Matthew chapter 13, where it begins with the parable of the sower, and then before the explanation of the sower, there's this sweet explanation for why he's teaching in parables, and his disciples are the ones who ask the question. They want to know, why are you telling them these little stories? And Jesus said, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. He said, I've given you the key to the secrets. I've given you the mysteries, the mysterion. I've given you the hidden things, the unknown things to the world, but I'm not giving it to them. And it's an interesting thing. He's explaining why he teaches in parables, why he covers it up just a little bit, not a lot, just a little. If you were hungry, if you were the least bit interested, you could find it, but some folks are not. And here's the Matthew principle, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Economists use this. This is a principle that works in life concerning so many things. Here, Jesus is talking about several things. One, he's talking about hunger and desire. If you have desire, more will be given to you and in abundance. But if you don't have a desire, even that you have will be taken away. And that's true, and you see that all around you. You see it with people who flare up, and for a moment they have a desire for the things of God, and God starts adding to them, but then they dissipate, and they lose their way, and they lose their desire for God, and they're back down at ground zero, or below that, they go back further than they were when they first started trying to live for God. And so it's hunger in the first instance that that the disciples have here that the rest of Israel may not have, that he's talking about, but he's also talking about the foundational truths of the Word of God. It's like math. It's like a lot of other things. The Word of God is line on line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little. And so it's like if you have a little understanding about something, you can get more understanding about that. You have a foundation to build on. But if you don't have a foundation at all, you can't stack it on there. If you don't have basic math, you can't understand algebra. And if you don't have algebra, you can't do geometry. And if you follow how that works, and so here we are at Living for God 101. And if you've got that, then God can build on it. If you've got that, then God can give you more. If you've got that, then God can say, come on now, I've got something else to show you. And you've already made a decision, and you say, I've chosen life, and I've chosen good, and I've chosen blessing. And then you've lived that for a while, and you're by that dedication and by that commitment, you are embracing the Word of God. And then on a normal Tuesday morning, you're in prayer with God, and God says, come on with me, I got something I want to show you, because you've already given yourself, and you're committed, and you're disciplined, and you're hungry, and you're looking. And that's what I like. The hungry shall be filled, and those that are thirsty, God's going to give them to drink. But those that are not, they're not going to have a relationship with God. It depends on what you're hungry for. You know what? You can develop an appetite for the things of God. If you start eating a little bit of the things of God, you'll develop a better appetite for the things of God. But if you're eating the junk food of the world, you're going to be filled up like a little kid full on candy and potato chips, and you're not going to want it when mama sets a good meal out on the table. I want you to hear and understand, don't fill your life with foolishness and emptiness and deadness and things related to the curse, but fill your life full of the good word, the bread of God. And when you do, and when you develop, you'll become hungry for that. And as you're hungry for it, God will just show up from time to time, and he'll say, come on with me, I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to show you something. And God loves it when he shows you stuff, and you go, wow, look at what God did. And you share it with one another. There at the end of Malachi, he said, and they that love the Lord spoke often one to another about the Lord. And he said, those are mine. And I'm going to, when I come to take up my treasure out of the world, they are going to be my jewels. He listens in. He knows the hungry, because the hungry just keep talking about the things of God. They can't get enough of the things of God. He said, if you have, more will be given to you and in abundance. And if you don't have, even that you have is going to be taken away. So the more good I choose, the more good I get. The more blessing I choose, the more blessing I get. The more life I choose, the more life I get. Down in the heart of that 13th chapter, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you have heard and have not heard them. What do they have? They have desire. They have hunger. What do they have? They have a foothold, a platform, a foundation that God can build upon, line on line. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God has a treasure house of things he's wanting to give and bless with and unleash. And with Israel, Israel never got there. God intended for Israel to be a nation of priests to win their Gentile world, but they never got there because they never got past Secrets 101. They never got past choosing life, choosing blessing, choosing good. They never got there. They were too fascinated with false gods and being involved with things that were not like God. And so God had a plan to internalize this kingdom and make them evangelists to their Gentile world, but they didn't do that. But now here's the church, and the church begins with the infilling that God intended for Israel. God intended to fill all of his people with the Spirit, and he will do that in the millennial. But a lot of graves are filled with a lot of lost Jews until you get down to the millennial, when they all will be filled with the Spirit. They lost their way. But now concerning the church, Paul says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was hidden from Israel, but now it's manifest in the church. And we have a little. And people who make these basic 101 decisions and commitments, there's more to receive. Paul goes on, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, secret things. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. The devil didn't know what was about to happen at the cross. The devil was having a party. He thought this was a big win for hell. The princes of this world didn't know it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wound up without their own keys to their own house. They wound up with the door kicked off the hinges to death and hell, but they didn't know it. They didn't see it. It was a secret, and God has revealed these things to his church. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's more beyond just Secrets 101. There's more. There's revival. There is growth. There is walking in the gifts of the Spirit. There are miracles. God has something in mind for you. He's got something in mind for your house and for this city. And there are a multitude of things yet unexplored and yet revealed to the people of God. And the foundation for all of that is somebody that'll make those basic commitments. I choose God. I choose blessing. I choose life. I choose good. I like Job, I eschew evil and the curse and the things that are going to lead to death. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. I want you to know right now we're walking through a time of pestilence and earthquakes. And Jesus said concerning all of these things, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, he said these are the beginnings of sorrows. That phrase, beginnings of sorrows, has to do with childbearing. It is the birth pains of a woman, and they start slow and they start mildly. And I'm telling you this by what I've heard. I haven't experienced this, but I have it on good information that it grows more intense as the moment comes near and the pains get closer together. When you call the doc and you're telling him, I'm having something going on, the first thing he asks you about is how close are the pains together. He wants to know, because the closer those things get together, the closer you are to the birth of the baby or the event. And Jesus said these signs, earthquakes and pestilences in diverse places, and all of these other signs that you can see in Matthew 24 and in Luke chapter 21, you're going to find that these things are happening, and they're happening at a greater rate of occurrence, and they're happening and they're getting stronger, and this is going to continue. And if you think this disruption is a little disruption and it's going to go away and life is going to get back to normal, I'm just telling you, there is no normal. We are living in a dynamic world full of dynamic upheaval, and we are drawing close to the coming of the Lord. Now, God needs a church in the last day that can stand in the middle, and they're not fooling around with basic decisions about if I will or if I won't, or if I'm going to walk off into the curse. God's looking for a church that is mature and whole and making good decisions, and long since has committed themselves to the basics of living for God. I don't want the curse in my life. I want the blessing. I don't want to die the death of a sinner. I want to live the life of God. And I don't want to embrace the evil and be on the devil's side. I want to be on God's side and embrace the good. That's living for God. That's Secrets 101. And God needs a church in the end time And God needs a church that is given to the things of God. I need some music right now. Could I have some music? Praise God. Some secrets are hidden in plain sight. If you follow the story of creation, creation is God appearing, and God appearing in the darkness by spirit, and in the chaos by spirit, and God hovers, and the presence of God is the first instance. And so the first thing I need as a person in chaos, or first thing I need for what's about to happen in that creative sequence in Genesis 1 and 2, God's going to make a habitable place for a man and a woman, a good place with atmosphere and supply and a place to stand and stars above to lead them and guide them. And everything that God knows that man will need, it all begins with the moving of his spirit. There's a secret there, but the world doesn't get it, and they're not interested in it. They'd rather pour themselves out in a sporting arena or at a concert, something like that. And they'll feel a spirit there, and they'll interact with a spirit there, and they'll wave their hands, and they'll lift their hands, and they'll clap their hands for the worldly stars and the worldly gods. But if you really want to find a sequence of events that will change your life and make life full of the goodness of God, it starts with the moving of the Spirit of God. You accomplish that right now in your living room, in your home, where you are listening. Just lift up your hands and begin to invite the presence of God. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, God is attracted to repentance. And so you begin to repent of your sins and just begin to tell him. If everybody's there or nobody's there, you just begin to tell God, God, I'm sorry, and God, I want to live for you, and God, I want you to forgive me. And I mean, immediately God is attracted to that. If you are humble, God will attend unto you. If you are proud, God will resist you. Repentance is the beginning of it. And then when you've repented for a season, then just begin to praise and magnify him, because God inhabits the praises of his people, and God will show up, and God will begin to move, and God will begin to minister to you. And it's interesting, the very, very simple template that is so clear and easy to see, and so many people don't see it. God speaks, and the word of God goes forth, and the light comes on. And now there's light where there was darkness, and now there's revelation where there was nothing. And that's Genesis chapter 1, but it's also your life chapter 1. It's Genesis chapter 1, but it's your new life chapter 1. And the first thing you need is a moving of the Spirit, and then you need God to speak. You need the word of God to erupt in your life, and you need light to break forth. And then God begins to call forth, and everything that is there, God says, he saw the light and it was good. And all of the other features of the creation, he saw them and said it was good. And you need to know and understand that you can stand in the middle of your chaos, in the middle of your darkness, in the middle of your circumstance right now, and you can begin to speak the word of God just like God, because you're made in the image of God, and God has given you that power, and God has given you that privilege, and you can begin to speak the word of God and bring light into your darkness and bring order to your chaos and call forth a place to stand. If you feel like your world is so fluid, you don't know where to stand, and you don't know how you're ever going to get a little traction and start making some progress, call forth some form out of the formless today by speaking the word of God, by choosing life, by choosing the word of God by choosing the blessing instead of the curse. My God, let's lift up a voice and praise him in the house today. Let's magnify him. You can stand in the middle of your situation and you can call forth the power and the goodness and the richness of God. Glory, 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 glory. You can have the promise of God. You can have the plan of God to break forth in your life. You can embrace what God has purposed for your life. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Mighty God, worthy, worthy God, hallelujah. In your home there, in your kitchen, in your living room, wherever you are, reach over, take somebody's hand or lay your hand on them right now and begin to pray one for another. You might look them in the eye and you might say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You might tell them, I've made up my mind. I've got a made up mind. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose blessing. I'm going to choose the way and the plan of God. Hallelujah. Hey. Oh, mighty, mighty, mighty God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody worship him. Somebody praise him. Somebody get a hold of God. Somebody turn back the darkness. Somebody speak forth the word of God. Somebody attract the presence of God. Somebody repent of your sins. Somebody stand up in the middle of your life and take responsibility for it right now. Yes. Hey, mighty, mighty, mighty God. I'm gonna live for you. Oh, I'm gonna serve you, God. I'm gonna live for you. I'm gonna walk out the plan of God in my life. Hallelujah. God continually reveals. God continually has more. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And there's always more. And it gets richer. It gets deeper. It gets better. You'll run out of life before you run out of new secrets that God can share with you. God loves sharing his secrets with his people. I think he's eager right now. He's waiting for somebody. When the New Testament writers talking about the man Christ Jesus, he says that he was a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the commitment and the rejoicing of the hope unto the end? I've got to be committed to it, and I've got to find a way to rejoice in these things that God has given me. And if I can do that, that writer thinks I've found a place of spiritual balance and a place to stand. I'm committed and I'm rejoicing. If you're committed to God, but it's a pain in the neck to live for God, you're not gonna live for God. If it's grievous to you, you're not gonna make it. But you've gotta find a place where you're committed to God and it's like, man, this is the best thing that could ever happen to me. God has secrets yet unrevealed to open up like Christmas presents in your life. He's eager to do that. He wants to do it today. Once more, let's lift up every hand. Let's lift up every voice. Mighty God, we praise you. We worship you. We lift you. God, help us to mine out all of the precious things, the wonderful things, the beautiful things of your kingdom. Help us, mighty God, tonight. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. I appreciate all those who have come to help tonight to make these broadcasts possible. I pray, church, let's look for the purpose of God and the will of God in the midst of this time of trouble. But I'm telling you, there are souls to win, and there are hungry people all around you, and people feel an unsettling in their spirit, and they're going to be coming. And what I'd like for you to do before we get these flyers prepared for the website and everything, it's on the church card already. Come by the church and pick up a stack of cards and just give them to your neighbors or your coworkers or random strangers. While you're all protected with your gloves and your mask and your hazmat suits, give the cards out. Tell them. Tune in. We're going to have Bible study tomorrow night at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. I'm encouraging Brother Cliff to continue with all of his Bible studies, but to do them all online. And if you're teaching a Bible study, I talked to Brother Ronnie today, and he was wondering about his study because there's a guy he's teaching that doesn't really have internet service and doesn't have any real means of getting this type of broadcast. But I told him, I said, there's a beautiful young couple in this church, Brother Chris and Sister Summer. And when he first came for a long number of months, he was a trucker. And I would call them every Tuesday night, and we would have Bible study on the phone. And I remember once he was in Arizona, he was in all kinds of other places, and we would just have a three-way on the phone and have good Bible study. It's not as good as being there in the house and eating pie and drinking coffee. It's not as good as that, but it's good, and it's better than nothing at all. And so continue, church family, if you're a Bible study teacher, find some way to hook up with your Bible study student, and don't let those things wither on the vine, but stay a present influence in the life of those people. And I'll just tell you, some people are going to come and get the Holy Ghost, and some folks are going to be baptized in this time of trouble because their hearts are stirred and they're thinking about their mortality. And it's a good thing because they need to. And the church needs to be ready. God bless you. Wonderful to be with you tonight. Looking forward to it. Tomorrow night, live broadcast, 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Bible study. One is with a couple, and the other will be the sequence of Bible studies that we've been doing. And so we'll be doing that Monday, Tuesday. We'll have one probably Thursday afternoon, and Friday evening I'll have another couple probably midday Saturday. So let's eat the Word of God. I know you're busy. I know you have a lot going on. I'm just giving you some options. Let's dig into the Word of God in this unusual season. God bless you.